Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, and welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, the Sunday night podcast, and this is the 22nd episode of 2021, hence 21-22. Hopefully you guys have had a blessed weekend, and we're ready to head into a whole new week. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We've got the Red Pill Festival coming up next week, next Saturday, so we're 6 days away. The all-day event in St. Regis, Montana. Don't want to miss this one. This is going to be a lot of great speakers. Joey Gibson from Patriot Prayer. I will be speaking. Lady Liberty will be speaking. Representative Heather Scott. Matt Shea. Several other many speakers from the Patriot community and elected officials, pastors. It's just going to be one you don't want to miss. But for those of you coming from the Pacific time zone, remember it's an hour ahead, so leave earlier and bring your own chairs. There might not be enough, and bring your own shade because there might not be enough of that as well. So there are trees and there is a large stage covering, but with the numbers that we're expecting to show up that the organizers are indicating, and man, is it making the communist head spin like a top. So that's okay. We are going to hold our ground and stand for Americanism and the principles that this nation was built on, our Christian heritage, and the rule of law, the Constitution, which they also hate. And we're just going to have a really great time. Jordan Page is also going to be providing music for that. It's just going to be a really good time. So pretty exciting. Now, let's get into the news and commentary. News and commentary brought to you by Prepping 2.0, the podcast to help take your preps to the next level, prepping2-0.com. This first one from the Liberty Daily. If COVID vaccines work, why are the most heavily vaccinated countries spiking in cases? This is really interesting to see this chart, and you can see this at Liberty Daily. And this was also posted over at Twitter, and this is where I first picked it up from Corona Realism. That is the Twitter feed or Twitter page account, Corona Realism. And they have a chart here, really interesting. There are, plus Gibraltar is not included in this, but this is from the official Our World in Data, or in data, however you want to say it. But these are, you know, official world statistics, population, jobs, unemployment, the number of births, statistical type of data, all kinds of data. How many people have flown an airplane in a certain country, you know, have taken a flight? How many people have, how many live in apartments versus live in houses, this kind of stuff. Well, they've got a daily new confirmed COVID-19 cases per million people. And what this reveals is that the top three, which is Malta, the United Kingdom, and the Netherlands, have the highest percentage of vaccine rates, so-called. It's not even, doesn't even technically, from the medical definition of a vaccine, it does not even meet the definition of a vaccine, but that's what they're calling it. So what they're calling COVID-vaccinated countries, the highest is Malta. And they have, along with the United Kingdom and the Netherlands, they are head and shoulders above the rest of the country in new confirmed COVID-19 cases. See, if you have a vaccine for a specific, a particular sickness, illness, disease, virus, after the vaccinations, the numbers should plummet. like they do with all kinds of other diseases that we have vaccines for. But this is having the opposite effect. And now with this new Delta variant, those who have the new Delta variant are high vaccination numbers. So the 15 least vaccinated states or countries in Europe fell below, way below the mark, below, well, the highest percentage is Slovenia, with over 41% of people getting new COVID cases who have been vaccinated. So this is just, I mean, the numbers and the data just continues to confirm that this whole thing is just nothing more than a scam. But it's good. It's confirming what we already know. This is a great article picked up by Liberty Daily as well from Tsarism. An article titled "Globalist Media Lying About Hungarian COVID Rates." And those are the three. I love those three countries. Poland, Hungary, and the Czech Republic standing their ground, and they are really holding to nationalism, the roots, what made their country, their language, their border, their culture, and they're protecting that. They have not succumbed to all of the European Union's edicts. If you want to be a 21st century nation in the European Union, you have to do this, that, and the next thing. Well, those countries are just, they're dive bombing. You have to open up your borders and let Muslim invaders come in by the tens of thousands, if not more. You have to lock down your country. You have to restrict your people and quarantine them. You have to make sure they get the vaccines. These guys aren't playing by any of that, and they're actually coming out ahead. But in a July 15th report, the Associated Press reports that Hungary is experiencing the highest COVID death rate in Europe. And apparently, Hungary's COVID hospitals have closed up, leaving a couple of rooms open just in case a foreigner with COVID succumbs to the Delta variant, which, because Hungary is so unsuccessful in negating, has arrived. So, well, the Delta variant has not arrived in Hungary. The numbers don't match up. And it turns out that, well, the Associated Press, which also feeds the New York Times and all of these other Soros and other leftist-ran outlets, are providing misinformation. Yeah, this is a good article here. The Hungarian parliament democratically gave Orbán, who's the president, the prime minister or president? President Orbán, emergency powers with a defined expiration date. Now, there's a novel idea. The goals have been met and prove the wisdom of Orbán against the hyperventilating authoritarian, non-democratic, Soros-controlled European parliament, just as Holland has entered the red zone, highest COVID infection and death rates. But they want to play along, let Holland go right down that drain, if you will. But yeah, it's good to see people standing against it. Speaking of limitations on powers, this needs to become infectious across the United States. Michigan House of Representatives has a chance to end the Whitmer overreach. This week may see the end of a law that was abused, and this is being abused all across the country in similar states, Washington State included, if not especially. To try to intimidate citizens of the state of Michigan into doing the will of a politician who was a bit overzealous, being kind there, but they are about ready to vote to limit or revoke the emergency powers of the governor, and apparently she cannot veto it, apparently. She was able to do this until with the emergency powers, locking everyone down. She was able to do this until the Michigan State Supreme Court ruled in October that she needed to check in with the legislature every 28 days. I don't think that's too unreasonable. Of course, they can do a lot of damage in 28 days. But 28 days, you should reasonably be able to assemble your legislature to be able to put some checks and balances on a runaway governor that's giddy with new emergency superpowers that lets them do things that only the legislature should be able to do. like changing voting laws, you know, something like that. So we're really happy to see that. Over in California is a lost cause. California has approved its first taxpayer-funded guaranteed basic income. California lawmakers on Thursday approved the first state-funded guaranteed income plan in the U.S., $35 million for monthly cash payments to qualifying pregnant people and young adults who recently left foster care with no restrictions on how they spend it. The vote, 36-0 in the Senate and 64-0 in the Assembly, really, showed bipartisan support for the idea. Dozens of local programs around the country have sprung up in recent years, including some that have been privately funded. So this is the camel's nose in the tent when they approve the first taxpayer-funded guaranteed basic income. So that program will only grow from there. It's going to expand. That's essentially communism, socialism. So, from the conservative playbook back to the COVID vaccines, the latest data from the ENDRA Vigilance, a European Union database similar to VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System in the U.S., shows that nearly 20,000 people have died from the Wuhan coronavirus vaccines in the areas of Europe it assesses, along with the nearly 2 million people who have been seriously injured by the injections. 2 million. And these are autoimmune disorders and all kinds of other stuff that we've seen kick up. Very dangerous. Great article over at, I'm not sure what this is based. And this was picked up by Liberty Daily. So these guys are pretty good about checking their sources, but I just have not seen this before. But they're running an article. Is the FBI trying to create a generation of Hitler youth or what? The Federal Bureau of Investigation, which continues to just lose credibility and the faith of the American people by the day anymore, it seems, appears ready to create a new generation of Hitler youth, turning family members against one another and asking citizens to be on the lookout for any relative, coworker, or friend who might be mobilizing toward violence. Family members and peers are often best positioned to witness signs of mobilization to violence, help prevent homegrown violent extremism. Even if they've not done anything, maybe not even planning anything, but maybe there are indicators that they might. We'll go ahead and report it. We'll take it from there. No thanks. We covered Stasi and the NKVD last week. Thank you very much. Good question. Trump's asking in the National File why Trump doesn't, or he's saying, why even wait to decertify the Arizona election? The irregularities amount to hundreds of thousands of votes that should be tossed out, and it's going to lead to a decertification. So why they're just dragging their feet on this, I don't know. I don't understand it. But they're talking, even in America, this new lockdown that's going to be needed. Now masks for even people that are so-called vaccinated. And they found their new magic button. They found their superpower that's going to give them unlimited powers and just going to keep walking it forward, not give up. In France, they're already protesting, but they want to now charge, I don't know, how long is it in prison? A one-year prison sentence and a 45,000 euro fine. This is the president in France, threatening business owners who fail to check patrons' COVID passports. So if you go into a restaurant and they're going to run their sting operations, right, to see what restaurants are not charging or checking for people's COVID passports. So if you don't have a COVID passport, no business. You cannot buy or sell or trade without your COVID passport. So we're heading in that direction. It's not the mark of the beast, but it is certainly putting in the infrastructure. It is certainly a very aggressive conditioning phase for what will eventually become, and who knows, doesn't sound like it's going to be very far off, for the mark of the beast, or what is described as the mark of the beast in Revelation. So it's going to be kind of spooky. The Washington Standard, and this is why people are resisting, this is why people are rioting now, protesting, demonstrating around the world. Right here from the Washington Standard, as White House confesses to the fascist censoring, the CDC says nearly 12,000 Americans are dead in the past 7 months following COVID injections. But the slipstream media, the legacy media, they won't mention this. You guys already heard us talk about last week. This is just horrible. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas tells the Cubans who are trying to flee. Now, these are true refugees. These are people that are fleeing communist oppression, trying to make it to the United States. And he warns them, don't come to the United States. If you get on a boat to come to the United States, you will not make it to the United States. You won't be allowed here. You won't land here. You're not coming to the United States. Why? Because this regime is afraid of more anti-communists coming to the United States, while our southern border is completely blown wide open. Many of them communist sympathizers. And who knows what else? From Islamic extremists and everyone else that are making their way across our southern border, while this regime looks the other way. And in response, Cuba's been repressing the people, brutal repression. Since July 11th, just last week, when we started covering this, thousands of Cubans have taken to the streets across the country in landmark demonstrations. Well, now these people are being scooped up. Anyone who shouted liberty or motherland and life, or referenced a song, referencing a song performed by Cuban artists in Havana and Miami that repurposes the Cuban government's old slogan, motherland or death, because they're saying now motherland and life, well, they're getting rolled up. They're being identified as leaders and organizers of this revolt against the revolution. So a Cuban rights group is reporting that over 200 people have been detained. The whereabouts of many remain unknown. Police intelligence officers have also disappeared at the homes of journalists Police and intelligence officers have also appeared at the homes of journalists and activists, ordering them to stay home. So they're under house arrest if you are a journalist. So Amnesty International is following up with this, but it's very difficult to get information out of Cuba right now. And they're saying that these guys are even arresting, and in some cases, people are saying they've witnessed executions of those that they believe to be some of the stronger, more prominent, dominant leaders of this latest uprising against communism. So, of course, we cannot, confirm that at this time, but it's also very consistent with the countless testimonies that we have from people who have escaped Cuba, who have come here for freedom, who have explained, they've shared their testimonies of what they witnessed with their own eyes. And so they've explained many times they have seen people executed or arrested and never seen or heard from again, who even spoke out against communism. So a lot of credibility there. We'll see. All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, I want to briefly talk about we're going to talk about some measures as the NKVD, Stasi, spying on people, building databases, harvesting all of your data and sharing it through fusion centers about your activities, your words, your sentiments that are captured, compiled, and now using artificial intelligence to build these threat matrices on citizens who stand for traditional American ideals, who speak out against tyranny, against overreaching government that support the rule of law, and they want our government. They're willing to stand against those in our government who have abused their power and acted unlawfully, and now they are being demonized. They're being labeled as extremists or even terrorists simply because they belong to a militia, which somehow became, the media has helped demonize just the word militia, which is actually in our Constitution. But I'm going to talk about that. Some measures that you can take and some steps. And I'm going to turn this into an article that you can follow with links. But I want you to just listen up and talk about some alternatives and things to think about as we move into really a ramped up, increased surveillance state. All right, this is Radio for Redoubt. We'll be back right after this.
How do communists gain control of non-communist governments? Let's take a look. By military occupation. By expelling non-communist officials. By the army appointing puppet officials. By obtaining military and police powers. Controlling the legislative procedures. By propaganda creating political and economic unrest. Controlling the courts. Terrorizing political and economic opponents by obtaining government positions and secrets.
Abe Lincoln here. In 1773, patriots broke the chains of British tyranny by throwing tea into Boston Harbor. On that day, Americans began drinking coffee. We celebrate that event daily here at Minutemen Coffee. All men are created equal. Coffee is not. Minutemen Coffee is roasted to perfection in small batches. Bold, smooth, and never bitter. Shipped to you fresh daily. Whole bean, ground, or our patented pods. www.minutemencoffee.com.
Welcome back to segment two of the Voice of the American Redoubt. And segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping folks like you get strategically relocated to the American Redoubt. They particularly serve the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. So check them out if that's where you are looking to move and get relocated to. Their website is SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Okay, last week I was talking about Stasi, NKVD, building dossiers, tracking the communications of citizens, and identifying map what's called, in modern parlance, it would be mapping the human terrain. This is part of building an intelligence profile and a group or groups, or identifying what groups you have out there, and then who are the significant people, who are the leaders, who are the influencers in each of these subcultures and subgroups, and then which do you identify as potentially threatening to you. Now let's find out who all those people are and who knows who and who's been saying what to one another and so on. Whether it's Bundy Ranch or all the way up to January 6th, a lot of what they are grabbing people up for is a lot of times their own words. Now, I've heard people vent on both sides. I've heard the people on the right, the conservatives say, boy, I'd really love to, do this or that. And, which, you know, could be construed as making a threat towards someone. I've seen people on the left do it who they might feel that way. They might feel an intense hatred towards somebody on the right or a conservative or President Trump, the calls for violence against him. But they themselves would never actually carry that out. They're blowing off steam and talking tough. They're keyboard commandos talking about what they would like to do to Trump. Well, people do it on both sides. But see, when you have someone like the FBI, which has turned into the modern NKVD or Stasi, they are not just, they're taking the opportunity to use this to put political pressure on the conservatives, the patriots, by using their own words against them, whether you mean it or not, whether you're just blowing off steam or what have you. So there is a more appropriate way as 21st century patriots. We need to be using 21st century tools to communicate with. And I don't mean social media. I've been a huge opponent of social media for how it has been used by patriots for a long time. Now, you can use a secure platform like Signal text messaging, and you can get a little weasel, traitorous, self-serving individual to take a conversation, a private conversation between, three or four of you, and go and give it to a leftist newspaper, and they could twist that and make it look bad, make it look like you're planning on overthrowing the government and everything else. But, you know, trying to take your own words completely out of context and harm you. But that's not mostly what's happening here. Mostly what's happening is patriots expressing their views or their fantasies or whatever right out in the open on social media, where it is free. It's free for grabbing right out of the air. And you also have being labeled as extremists, terrorists, even. A lot of times these social media companies, even if it's in a private chat between you and a couple other people, but it's on one of these platforms, they will oftentimes willingly and gladly cooperate. Facebook or Twitter or any of these, you know, will make this information available simply for the asking, not even with a warrant. So now they're getting private conversations between, a couple of patriots who are venting, and then they've got you planning and plotting to, carry out a terrorist act or whatever. So what we want to do is you have the Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate yourself, which means you have the right to express your feelings and views and your ideologies and privately. So you have the Fourth Amendment issue there. You got the First Amendment issues, and then you've got the Fifth Amendment. You have the right not to self-incriminate. So don't give them something that they can use to twist and distort and try to make you into a terrorist or extremist or anything else. And there's ways to do that. Right now, at this stage, there are ways to do that, and there are tools. So I'm going to talk about that, and I've talked about this at length in the past. I have a thumb drive that I used to sell. We're out of those because it's 5 years old. There are new things that have come online. There are things that aren't as good. There are things that are better than what I had included in there, but it's really for privacy and security. And it was called the Underground Project. Really with the mindset, the mentality of, say, a pastor operating in a country that's, hostile toward Christians, where you have private churches that are meeting in secret. How can you communicate and coordinate amongst one another? And what if your pastor, you found out that he was, going to be arrested? How would you put him underground? How would you protect him? How would you be able to communicate and coordinate and operate underground safe house networks and so on, which is actually happening around the world right now as we speak. So a lot of times they will smuggle a pastor out of a country who is wanted by the authorities because, oh, he tried sharing his Christian faith with a Muslim, and so that's a crime. So now we want to arrest you. Well, of course, the Christians will hide that pastor. They will coordinate and communicate amongst themselves to get him to a border or to, you know, to a safe place and then out of the country. So that's kind of what I was thinking of, you know, as I was putting that project together. So I'm going to update that here in the coming weeks. I've got several things on my plate that I want to get cleared to talk about that. So let me just dive right in here and discuss this. And actually, you know what I might do? I might, yeah, I'm going to cover this in these two segments, because this is going to take two segments for me to cover this. And then next week, I want to talk more about, because I don't have as much, I have a lot of meat as far as the cyber attack threat that the World Economic Forum is talking about and saying is imminent. But I don't have a lot of meat built up yet as far as countermeasures. Really, there's nothing you can do about it, other than how do you, boots on the ground, how do you survive while our entire communications and telecommunications, internet and all that stuff is brought to a screeching halt and shut down. So I think I'm going to cover that more next week. Okay, so the first thing that I think should be the top priority for everyone is to stop using social media for patriot and conservative organizations sharing or coordinating with each other and sharing information with each other. There are more secure apps, and I don't mean to contradict myself. I should say stay off of some of these larger platforms, Facebook, Twitter, to be more specific, to avoid, because they have shown that they're hostile toward conservatives, the Patriot movement, and they're much more willing to hand information over. So I would recommend using, you know, some of the other platforms like Telegram, like Signal, and these that are more encrypted and not just openly available on servers, where you actually have the organizers of it that are hostile towards you. So minimize that, what you're using. A lot of people put up pro Second Amendment. When they come for me, I'm going to let them have it. You know, both, you know, all the things that they're going to do, and you know, to government entities, and they're going to use that against us, especially now that they are moving into this kind of this red flag type of demonization, red flag tools to disarm people that they have identified as threatening. So what we want to do is start, you know, minimize their, I guess, their data input when they are, you know, trying to make these kind of decisions. And of course, you know, hey, you're a member of the NRA, you've been to this and that firearms course, you subscribe to this or that firearms magazine, you know, openly an advocate of the Second Amendment. Oh, I'm already pegged. Yeah, that's true. Okay, so they're still going to just have certain people just pegged as you're a potential problem, you know, because you're pro-gun, you're patriotic. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, being a tier one target for them to want to grab or deal with or disappear or something like that. So now the next thing that you need to do is start using a VPN, a virtual private network. A lot of the folks in Cuba have been able to communicate outside of the country because they're using VPNs. A VPN, or a virtual private network, is a connection using an encrypted connection to the internet. And think of it like this. When you go to the bank teller and you put your checks and your deposit and everything in that little tube, and it sucks it through the tube to go into the bank, imagine that tube being clear, a clear plastic tube, and somebody up in the ceiling, as that goes by, they can stop it, take a snapshot of it, take a picture of what's inside, and then send it on. So then when your bank teller sends your receipt and your balance and your signature and everything back through the tube, the imposter in the middle, he can stop that little container, take a picture of it through that clear tube, and then send it on back to you. You're completely unaware that there was a man in the middle gathering this information, because it's you and the teller that you can see through the glass, you know, a couple bays over inside the bank. What you don't realize is there's somebody in between that's able to grab this information. So a VPN essentially is like making that clear air tube a black PVC. Okay, it encrypts it. They cannot see what's inside of the contents as you visit websites and you're involved in online chats and things like that. Someone in the middle at the server cannot be grabbing this data as it's going through. Well, they could, but it's encrypted and it's not usable. It's extremely powerful encryption. The other thing that a VPN can do as well is change your IP address. So before it even leaves your computer, it changes your IP address. You connect to a VPN node, number of them, hundreds of them actually around the world. You could be connected in France or Switzerland or Iceland or Honduras or wherever. So when you go to visit, say, survivalblog.com, you're connecting to Honduras. It changes your IP address again, re-encrypts it, and then it connects you to Survival Blog. So you are reading articles there and copying and pasting information, and then you go and visit a couple of other websites, same pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment, pro-Trump. Maybe you read an article or two about anti-communist demonstrations in Cuba, and then you go on about your business. So a VPN will protect most of your online activity, especially and particularly if you are visiting sites that use HTTPS. That's an online encryption for encrypting the websites themselves. And it also verifies that you are actually at that real website and not connected to a spoofed website, because that happens a lot as well. So you think you're connected to Radio Free Redoubt, and it's actually just it's a mock site, and it is there to just divert all the traffic to it so they can see who's visiting it. Well, the VPN prevents the HTTPS that your websites have, like we have, combined with your VPNs, protect you from that. So there are a couple that I would recommend. One is NordVPN, NordVPN. And you can go to that by going to Amron.com or RadioFreeRedoubt.com. And on the right-hand side, there's a little banner there that says NordVPN. Just click on that banner and we'll take you exactly where you need to go. And you can get signed up. It is well worth, it's nominal. The cost of the VPN is so worth it to be able to have that very powerful, very simple, but very powerful encryption and rerouting by connecting to various different VPN nodes. The other one that I might recommend is Proton Mail. They now have a VPN. They've grown a lot. I've always liked Proton Mail service, Proton service, Proton Mail VPN, and the Proton Mail email service. But they've never been at the top of my list for recommending because they still had some growing to do. There were some features that I think are really important to have, and they didn't have those up until really recently. I would say they've come along to where I could now say, yeah, I recommend Proton Mail for your email service as one option, or their Proton Mail's VPN service. And they also have a package service. Now, Proton Mail does, and I'll get to email here in just a little bit. They offer a free email service, but it is pretty limited. It is worth it to pay, especially because I'm a huge proponent of Thunderbird email a client so that I can have all of my emails in there on my computer. I don't have to be logged onto the internet to be able to have access to my emails like a lot of these web-based. So anyway, the two VPNs that I recommend for your encrypted activity on the internet would be NordVPN, and both of those links are available on the websites, Radio Free Redoubt or Amron. And then the other one might be Proton Mail VPN service. Those are excellent, excellent. Okay, the next thing that I think that every Patriot security-minded person should be doing to help prevent that Stasi NKVD level snooping and control and database building of all your conversations with every person that you have in your life, then it's going to be your emails. Your emails at Yahoo or Gmail or any of these others, a lot of times, especially the ones that are free, you are what they are selling. You are the product, your information, your data, your terms of conditions that you agree to when you sign up to get an account with one of those free email services state that your content in your emails is free for the grabbing for them to use for marketing purposes. And so you need to be able to start to protect that, because that also gets handed over. It gets added to these fusion centers and all these massive and growing databases of searchable data on Patriots. So they're going back and finding words or rhetoric that you've expressed in emails. When you see something that on the news that just fries you, and you throw in your 2 cents about why I oughta, and then whatever you decide that, boy, you wish you could do to those people that are making this decision or doing that thing at the public schools or whatever it is, then you are helping them build a database. Remember, think Stasi, NKVD, and what they did to people once those systems, those East Germany or the Soviets, grew to maturity, when at some point in the future, they're not going to say, oh, no, we're not trying to do that. We're just trying to keep everyone safe. At a certain point where they don't care if you know what they're doing, they're just going to do it right out in the open. They're going to snatch people off the streets or execute people. This is what we've seen over and over in history, and there are telltale signs of when you are approaching that type of a political and social-political environment. And we have strong indicators that we're headed in that direction. So now, hopefully 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when you first started listening to Radio Free Redoubt, you started cleaning some of that stuff up, denying a potential future adversary of information they could use against you, to profile you, to prosecute you, to exploit you in one way or the other. So the other thing is emails. Now, there are one in particular I've always been a strong proponent of, and I will continue to be, and that is the use of an email client that you can download and host, have on your computer. I use Thunderbird. Some people, if you haven't heard of that, if you're a Microsoft user, you're familiar with Microsoft Outlook. Outlook is where you can have 4 or 5 different emails. You can have your Yahoo email, your Gmail. You can have all these emails imported into this one convenient location. The problem is that is a Microsoft product. Once again, they are a major data mining operation, and they are partnering with people who, within our government, there are people who have expressed strong hostile sentiments toward Trump supporters, Christians, patriots, and those type of people within our society, and they have access to this data now, and they hate your guts. So I want to deny them the use of that. I am a proponent of Thunderbird email client because I have John Jacob at Radio Free Redoubt in there. I have John Jacob at Amron.com. And then I have several other email addresses that I use for various different things. All right there. All of my contact lists are right there for whatever email I need to send out. All of my emails are downloaded, and I have them set up as POP3 emails, and that's a setting so that I can, my emails are downloaded onto my computer. They're erased from the server so that they're not available to be exploited anymore. So that way, if the internet goes down, I still have access to my emails and attachments, and I can still continue to research and respond to emails. Even if I don't have internet, I can at least put them in draft, so the next time I have an internet connection, I can shoot off all my emails. I'm not sitting there waiting to get an email connection so that I can log on to and, you know, go into go to Yahoo Mail or go to Gmail, you know, their web-based site. So the two email services that I would recommend at this time right now, probably the number one recommended email would be ProtonMail. ProtonMail is based out of Switzerland, and they are offshore. It's encrypted, and it is a really great service, and they have a free email service that you can sign up for. Now, they also have a much improved paid version, and in my opinion, it is worth it. There's a lot of stuff that we're not accustomed to paying for because, well, you can find so much on the internet that's free now. Why pay for anything? Well, because of privacy. You're paying for privacy, and you're denying a future potential adversary of continuously building database of information of your contacts and your conversations, and you want to deny them that. Just like you would hope that somebody living in East Germany or in Russia or the Soviet Union would have loved to have had these tools because of a conversation that they had with a friend of theirs. And then the next thing you know, that person's being rolled up, and the next person, and the next five people that they know, because they probably influenced them with your ideas. And next thing you know, you've got 12 people all going to the gulags, never to be seen again. And so it's not just a matter of protecting you. It's a matter of protecting others that you could also expose as potential extremists from a Stasi NKVD type of government perspective, right? So you want to just deny them information that they can exploit. So I strongly recommend ProtonMail, the paid account, because the paid version I can set up as a POP3 email in my Thunderbird program, which is free to download. It is Mozilla, which is the same company that makes the Firefox browser. They also make an email client called Thunderbird. And so if you pay for the paid ProtonMail account, that will give you the ability to have POP3 settings so you can set that up on your computer in Thunderbird. And that's why I like that. And then ProtonMail also has the VPN service, which I was just talking about a moment ago. The other one that I recommend is fairly new. I've been kind of watching it for a while. It's shown a lot of promise. They place a lot of emphasis on security, and that is Tutanota, Tutanota, or Tutanota, Tutanota. They also have a free account as well, but that one is web-based. They don't have a POP3 setting upgradable version that I'm aware of yet, and I should have looked just before the show here because things change, it seems, on a day-to-day basis. But that's also another really good one. And there are several more out there. I'm probably going to revisit the list that I have in the Underground series and update that and add several more others. I know there's some other really good email services that I'll get added. But the two steps that you should be taking right now as patriots concerned about a rising political type of environment that's hostile toward patriots, a rising of a new NKVD or Stasi type of mindset among some within our government, that I would start to increase your security. You can do that by using a VPN. and then you can use a secure encrypted email service. Now, just for chatting back and forth with friends, or you can set up groups of friends, secure and encrypted, I am a strong proponent of Signal. There are several others, but I recommend Signal. It's very easy to use. It's very intuitive. It's one of the more widely used secure chat applications. So you'll find more, probably more often than not, the people that you are communicating with will have Signal. And it's extremely, extremely secure, very strong encryption. So there's your VPN, your private network, internet connections, your email recommendations, and then for phone chatting as well, then your Signal. So a lot of times people will say, well, I don't want to use Signal because my friends, they all have Telegram. Telegram is another one that is apparently a very good chat type of platform, very similar to Signal. So feel free, whatever the largest number of people in your world are using, either Telegram or Signal, but I wouldn't settle for anything less, and certainly not normal SMS texting any longer. Those days should be over for you. The days of surfing the internet without a VPN should be over. The days of you not using a encrypted email and insisting that your friends and family and other people that you communicate with on a regular basis, especially if you're involved in political activism, discussing the issues, exchanging information about what's happening, accountability within the government, and so on. Those people I would insist that you have encrypted email services with. That's totally different than, you know, sending pictures of the grandkids to grandma or whatever. That's one thing. But when you're dealing with things that could be used to exploit you, then you start moving to more secure platforms. And on your mobile devices, and they also have downloadable applications for your PCs as well, use Signal or Telegram. I recommend Signal over Telegram. That's just my personal preference. All right, come back. We're going to talk about Linux operating systems and other secure bootable operating systems that you can use when you need to securely, discreetly connect to the internet. This is The Voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder, select your preferred carry style, and order your holster today.
Welcome back to segment three of The Voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones. Welcome back, Patriots. This segment is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property, helping you with professional consulting services to help lay out your land for food production, for alternative energy and water procurement, water rights, defensibility, laying it out so, well, it will meet the challenges so that we have in the times ahead. And some folks just need a little bit of help with that, and that's what these guys do. Great folks. It is strategiclandscapedesign.com. Okay, now this is going to be just a little bit shorter segment. I did not mean to go so long. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I felt like I was belaboring the security in the first. I want to get just more straight to the point on this one. I also made a decision. Had to make a snap decision here. I'm not going to cover Linux yet. I'm going to push Linux operating systems, and don't tune out, please. I mean, we've got to get off of Microsoft. We've got to get off of these other corporate systems where they control the processes behind the curtain that you can't see what's going on. We need to have more protection, more control over our computers. And now Linux operating systems have become so much more user-friendly. They are not like they were just even a couple of years ago. They've changed so much. So next week I'm going to talk about that, setting up those operating systems and more. And also I'll be talking about the coming imminent cyber attack, what that might mean for us, and some of the things we might need to do to prepare for operating. I'm not so concerned about the prepping side of, you know, all internet things going on, including, you know, commercial power, commercial communications. I'm worried about the aftermath, the world, the perfect world and utopia they want to set up afterward to protect us from this ever happening again. That's the part that really concerns me. But it is a very real thing. It's sinister. It is, it's just evil. What is, I believe, being planned. And so we'll talk about that. And then what we can do, we can't do anything about it to stop it, but there are some alternatives, and we want to start exploring more of those throughout this summer. Okay. In this segment, I briefly want to touch on two tools that are available to you, and they are free. They are put together by communities of computer engineers, if you will, code writers, program writers, developers that are very strong. They're very strong privacy advocates. And a lot of them are, you know, students or professors in universities. And I don't mean the woke, leftist, communist type of professors. I'm talking about people that really have skills and learning in computer sciences. And a lot of the development of a lot of this, especially around like Linux and some of these operating systems, are college projects. And a lot of these come from grants, and they're just top of the line pro level operating applications. But anyway, a couple things here I want to give you access to. Well, you already have access to them, but maybe don't know it. The first thing for secure, after you get your VPN, for secure activities on the web, which will give you much more privacy against tracking, surveillance, and censorship. One thing I did not mention with the VPNs in the last segment is, like, for folks in Cuba or in other countries where VPNs are technically banned, there are bridges that you can build, and there it's a fairly simple, straightforward process. Well, I mean, I've never done it, but I've looked at the process, and it looks like they have made it as simple as they can for users in restricted countries where it's not legal for you to use VPNs. You can still do that by bridging over to them, and they explain all that on their website. I know NordVPN does, and this one of their question and answer sections, they answer that question. What if I live in a country that restricts the use of VPNs? And they walk you through the process of building a bridge, what they call a bridge, to bridge over from your internet service over to a VPN node. Okay, so, and they do the same thing with this, and this is called Tor. Tor has been around for a number of years. Many of you are already familiar with it. A lot of you are familiar with it because it has become much more trendy, and it's included on a lot of cell phone apps. You start searching for apps on your cell phone or smart device, your tablet, in your store for privacy-related applications, you'll probably see Tor popping up as a recommendation for a security-minded app. Tor stands for the Onion Router, and the onion implies layers, and that's why they call it the Onion Router, because it has multiple different layers of encryption, and this is also starting to get into what is often referred to as darknet. And this provides protection from you being tracked and surveilled and censored. And there are a lot of conservatives and Christians that have said, well, that's where sex traffickers, that's the stuff that they use, and drug runners and terrorists and things like that. So I'm not going to have any part of that. Well, you don't have to have any part of that. This is an encryption tool, right? So, I mean, criminals drive around in cars. You're not going to stop driving around in a car with tinted windows because criminals drive around in cars with tinted windows. Are you? No. So this is a tool. Now, it's true that terrorists do use this. What did the government just call Trump supporters in the last few months? Terrorists, extremists. Violent, homegrown, terrorist, extremist, whatever they want to call you. There was a time when Jews were referred to as enemies of the state. People that stood up against the Bolshevik Revolution were enemies of the state. Right now, there are people being rounded up in China, in Pakistan, in Cuba, that are pro-freedom advocates. They are opposed to oppression and mistreatment by people in positions of government. And they speak out about that. They are deemed and labeled enemies of the state or terrorists or extremists or what have you. And they're getting rolled up. So we still want our churches, we still want our pastors to be able to communicate and coordinate in restricted countries. There are ways that you can do that. Those people are deemed enemies of the state, criminals, and so they have to use secure methods. And that's what this is. Tor, the Onion Router, is free to download. Go to torproject.org. Tor, that's T-O-R, project.org. They have platforms that you can download for, I mean, they have, the application can be downloaded for multiple platforms. Windows, Mac, Linux, and Android. So even though we are trying to get people to move away from Windows, move away from Mac, to at least have an alternative operating system, a Linux operating system, which I want to start introducing you to next week. If you just can't get away from Windows, you can't get away from your Mac. It's what you do for business. It's all your programs are on. It's what you know, and you just, the thought of switching just scares you, or you want to dismiss it altogether, then like Codename K said, think of it as like going down a freeway with two different lanes. All right. In one lane, you're operating your Windows. And then the next lane over, you're operating a Linux operating system. You're still the same person, right? You have one for one purpose and you have the other one for another person purpose, because you're beginning to learn about how to operate when you won't be able to securely or safely operate on one. You'll be able to start learning now how to operate more safely, more secure, more privately on the other one to avoid censorship, surveillance, and tracking. So go to torproject.org and download it. And there's all the information that you want to. This is for connecting to the internet. They also have features there for sharing files with each other and also for chatting with other people and groups that you want to set up and to communicate with. So imagine that a pastor is flying into some South African country with a plane load of Bibles, which would be banned if he gets caught crossing the border, but you have friends across the border in several underground networked churches, and they are communicating securely. They will go to prison. They will be killed. Their church will be burned to the ground. Their children will be taken from them and raised by Muslims, and all this other bad stuff that's going to happen to them if they get caught smuggling these Bibles in. But they're willing to take the risk as long as you take certain precautions. Okay, and then from there, you just trust in the Lord, right? Because nothing's guaranteed. So you do as much as you can, which is within your power, and then you trust in the Lord to do the things that are supernatural that you have no power over, control over, somebody making a mistake, somebody slipping up, somebody having an infiltrator in your group or whatever. You just got to trust in the Lord ultimately. But these are things that are given to us that are saving lives on a regular basis. And the direction that we're going in the Western world, particularly in America right now, where the communists are really emboldened. And we need to start thinking about more security. And Tor will help you browse the internet securely. You'll learn more about this. You can go to use your VPN and start looking at some of these YouTube videos on how to use Tor and some of the features. They've made it so user-friendly. It is slower than your normal internet connection because of the routing that it does and the layers that it goes through in encryption and switching encryption and changing your IP address and all that it does to block all of this tracking, that it is a little bit slower, but it is much, much more secure. Now, if you're really concerned about security and you want to take it up to the next level, there is an operating system that's called a live operating system. What a live operating system means is it's a computer operating system program, but you keep it either on a thumb drive or a CD-ROM. So when you boot up, instead of your Windows operating system that you normally see, Windows 7, Windows 10, it boots up in a Linux operating system called Tails. And this is free to download. If you go to tails.boum.org. Once again, that's tails.boum.org. And you can learn all about that there. But what this does is secures it. It is your own computer operating system that you can have in your pocket. So you can pretty much any computer that you come across, a friend's house, at a church, or wherever, you can boot up. Instead of booting up a Windows operating system, you boot up off of this thumb drive, and it has its own self-contained operating system. And it has Tor built into it, like I just mentioned, Tor. The Onion Router comes with Tails. Tails stands for the Amnesic Incognito Live System. It is a secure computer operating system. It wipes everything and leaves no trace on the computer of your activities. The websites you went to, the email website, that maybe you go to your protonmail.com to check your email, and it leaves no trace on the computer whatsoever. It's incognito amnesic, right? Or the Amnesic Incognito Live System. So, amnesic means it wipes and forgets everything. It operates in RAM, so there's no trace of your activity on the computer. It's incognito, which means it blocks any type of identifying, anything that identifies you and your location. And it is a live system, which means it operates off of a thumb drive or a CD-ROM live. The thing's in motion. It's operating, it's functioning live right there. It's not on the computer itself. It is all being operated off that thumb drive that you set up. And this is really easy. It walks you right through it, the whole setup process. And it does have a persistent storage container or section to it that allows you to store, let's say, your Wi-Fi connection and your Wi-Fi password, maybe your KeePass password protection file, so you can have all your passwords on there, so it doesn't wipe it. you can choose to have it not wipe some things. So when you go to use it each time, you don't have to go and set up your Thunderbird email all over again with all your emails and all the passwords and everything to access your emails. You can have that in your what's called a persistent drive. The Wi-Fi connections that you might use in two or three, your library and at your office or at your church, and then the one at home. You might want to keep those Wi-Fi passwords stored in your persistent drive so you don't have to go through and pull all that, look all that up, and add all that information in every time you want to boot that system up and use it. But this is a great system. Both of these are really easy for you to just experiment with. You'll need I would recommend a 32 gigabyte flash drive, and you should have one of those laying around. You could format one and wipe one if it's one you're not using anymore. Just buy one or two from wherever, from the store, and use it just for this and write tales on it and experiment with it. Just begin experimenting with these things. Try it. It is very simple, and YouTube has tons of videos on using Tails and using Tor and walking you through all of the features with great tutorials that will have you up and running securely and anonymously in no time. And so I wanted to mention those two tools. Very, very powerful. Very secure. They do have some limitations, but right now I don't want you to worry about that. I want you it doesn't make you invincible, and it doesn't make you completely invisible. There are some practices that you want to keep in the back of your mind. If you're doing something life or death, you could get caught, smuggling Bibles across a border, and you've got a state agency, state player looking for you specifically, and they're on to you, and they're scanning all the all the internet activity. There would be some things that you'd want to take a few extra precautions on, but that's not what we're talking about right now. This right here is basically makes you about as invisible and anonymous and safe and encrypted as you can be for your normal activities. And there's no trace of it. One of the things that has led to the demise of a lot of Christians or missionaries, patriots, like in China, in Hong Kong, or in Venezuela, Cuba, is when you're suspected of something and then they raid your apartment, your home, and they confiscate all of your electronics. And all of the activity, all of the emails, all of your chats and everything is all stored, or it's cached in parts of your computer, and all of that is retrievable, and that's what they're nailing people on. So if you can operate on something that's more incognito, something is stored encrypted, something that wipes your drive of any previous activity, those kind of things will help prevent you from having your electronics, being used to convict you one day. And now's the time to start learning those skills. It is the 21st century, and we are 21st century patriots. The weapons in the 21st century are high tech, which means 21st century patriots need to start learning how to use 21st century weapons. That means high tech. Okay. And this is a defensive in nature, what I'm talking about. So anyway, that's it. That's a wrap for segment 3, and I'll be back in just a moment with segment 4 and Lady Liberty right here at the Voice of the American Medallion.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food, and security surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. at www.revrealty.us. You can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment of The Voice of the American Redoubt on this 22nd episode of 2021. This is episode 21-22. Segment four is brought to you by U.S. Law Shield. Imagine having all your attorney's fees covered if you find yourself in a self-defense situation, whether it's criminal or whether it's a civil situation. No limits, no caps, doing whatever it takes to protect you in all 50 states, in or any of the 50 states that you might live in. And awesome coverage for only $11 a month if you use the RFR or John Jacob affiliate code, John Jacob. That's going to save you $11 a month is all it costs for a year's worth. Well, actually, if you pay for 12 months, you get 14 months of coverage. How can you beat that? How are you doing, Lady Liberty?
Well, great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just trying to recall all of the details, and there's so many.
Oh, for U.S. Law Shield?
Yeah, I'm trying not to make it into a whole segment because there's yeah, so right. much they cover.
Well, it's such an amazing opportunity, and I've never seen anything like it. I mean, especially in Washington State, there's no other insurance company that has been allowed to be here.
Right.
And so it's the only thing that Washingtonians have that they could even use for something like that. So,
well, I remember when I was a NRA member, they're like, nope. Bob Ferguson says, no, that's murder insurance.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Illegal in this state.
Right. And so, it's available in all 50 states, but mm-hmm. now especially in Washington. So.
Yeah. It covers you for your state, but it's only like a $3 rider, $3 a month to cover
right.
you in,
if you
operate out of your state yep. regularly. And, right. and of course, you know, in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area, a lot of people, they live in Idaho and they work in Spokane or vice versa.
Yeah.
So it's so worth it.
Well, and I just think about, with all these Antifa and BLM attacks going on, and they show up. They show up to Republican events or whatever. They
right.
just show up, you know. And so if you're actually put into that position, I just really can't imagine, like you're saying, hesitating because you're worried about the repercussions of what happens if you defend yourself. You know, the repercussions after the fact.
And people have a tendency to hesitate because they're worried about those consequences.
Yep.
Or if you don't, look at Kyle Rittenhouse. Okay, he used a AR-15 to defend himself when he was facing a lethal threat.
Yep.
He had every right to defend himself, so he's in the right. Now, he didn't use U.S. Law Shield. That was highly publicized. It was all over the country. And he had, I think, at least two lawyers come running. Lynn Wood is one of them.
Yep.
Come running to his aid. So I'll cover you pro bono. Well,
yep.
of course, it's high profile. You look like a hero, right? It's a good career move. But what happens when we have 10 of those?
Right.
20 of those? All of a sudden, the lawyers stop showing up going, I'll represent you for free, young man.
Right.
And there you are hanging out there.
Yeah.
And with hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees.
And that's the thing, too, it almost is paralyzing to me I almost would rather not defend myself and not have to be stuck paying $100,000 to an attorney. You know what I mean? Which is a scary thing. I don't know which is scarier.
Well, you could
getting attacked or having to pay an attorney bill, you know?
You could just get one of those super awesome, high quality court appointed attorneys.
Oh, I know, right?
Who are probably Antifa, you know, sympathizers.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to really fight for you.
The people that don't, you know, they're on the same side as all the judges that doesn't want to see any election fraud proof.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
No, I don't think I want one of those guys representing me either. So yeah, it just makes way too much sense, and it's too inexpensive to not have it. Is the way I looked at it. I just was like, wow, I have to have that. So.
Yep.
And that's why we're promoting it out there for everyone else too, because we don't want anybody else to be stuck in that situation and then have to decide, do I want to defend myself or do I want to pay $1 zillion to some attorney someday? You know?
Yeah, it's just not worth it to defend myself. The heck with that.
Yeah, no, we need to level the playing field with all the Antifa and BLM people that have all of their bills paid by Soros.
Yeah, wasn't even Kamala Harris stumping for... fundraising, sending money to help the peaceful demonstrators get bailed out because they were arrested.
Gosh. Yes.
Yeah. She was actually pushing for fundraising. I think it was for Black Lives Matter.
Yep.
To get people bailed out.
Yep.
And so it's just a revolving door. And of course, then they get bailed out. And then the district attorneys are, you know, leftist, you know, Soros backed. What do you want to call it? Yeah. I guess district attorneys.
Yeah.
And charges get dropped.
Right.
But while there's patriots there for months on end, all they do is walk in to a lobby. No violence, no destruction of property.
I know, right?
They just walk through a door, yep. And now they're sitting
now
there
they're
in isolation.
Sitting there.
Being treated like an Al-Qaeda operative that got captured in Iraq.
That's
in
right.
In Guantanamo.
Yep. I know. It's just, well,
oh,
it's, being, gosh.
Oh, but hey, some senators just, I'm not prepared to talk about this. But I just saw the headline that some people in Congress are now calling into question why are they being detained like that. So they're aware now. Pressure is beginning to mount.
Oh, after how many months of being in there? Gosh, they finally noticed.
Right. No kidding. I know.
Wow.
But that's what I was wondering. Where are you guys? Why are you guys not advocating for them? You should be treating them just like as if an American was detained by Iran or Cuba.
Yeah.
They'd be on there. They'd be on it every day. They'd be in the press. They'd be sending envoys.
That's right.
For American citizens that are detained by, well, I mean, CIA agents that are being detained over, you know, pretending to be a journalist.
Yep, right, exactly. Gosh. Well, yeah, so that was the part that I liked about it. I mean, the two things I liked about it most were the fact that it levels the playing field so that we've got very, very inexpensive representation and excellent representation. So it levels that playing field. So the Soros-backed people, they don't have to worry about theirs, and so now neither do we. And
right.
And then the other thing is of course the fact that then you don't have to worry about your decision at a very, very critical moment in your life. So yeah, I think that people should be able to take advantage of that. So that's why we're really pushing that.
And hope that you never have to face that kind of a situation, man.
Yep. No kidding. That's right. That's right. And if you do, hope you do as well as Kyle Rittenhouse. Dang, that kid was impressive.
Man. Yeah. The control, the self-control
yes.
that he demonstrated was,
yep.
that was pro. That was cool.
I know. It was like he was trained for that moment.
Yep. Well, okay. Let's see. What do you want to cover?
Well, I've got several things actually that kind of go along with what you were talking about. But the first thing that I wanted to point out was that Kyle Bass, the investment manager out of a Texas financial firm, he's hitting the news a lot because. He was the one that found that 130,000 acre property that the retired Chinese
oh,
general
yeah. Yeah.
from the CCP just bought in Texas. Okay, well, so he just put out another article titled "The U.S. Should Ban China's Digital Yuan," and so what we've got here is the communist regime in China is going to use its new state-controlled digital currency as a Trojan horse to project its authoritarianism all over the world, warns
yep.
hedge fund manager Kyle Bass, and it could become a cancer plaguing the United States if it isn't banned. And he said, imagine a currency that almost has a mind of its own. It knows your account data. It knows your birthday, your social security number, where you live. It actually knows your spending proclivities and how you spend it. And Beijing's hope is to have a massive influence around the world to really leapfrog where they are today into a much stronger position economically and also give them more control. And then it says that the Chinese Communist Party has ambitions of being the first in the race between governments to roll out a digital currency. And on July 8th, China's central bank, the People's Bank of China, announced an expansion of its tests, saying that the digital yuan will be tested during the 2022 Winter Olympics Games in Beijing. And so apparently the Chinese regime hasn't been hesitant to speak of its motives behind the digital currency either. On June 30th, the Chinese state-run outlet Global Times reported that the digital yuan could weaken the U.S. dollar's role in global currency settlements.
Count on it.
And so, they're not really holding back about their intentions either. They just will flat out say that they plan on being able to weaken the U.S. dollar by being the first one to release that.
Right.
And that is their intent. And so the creepy part is that that China could force companies to adopt the use of the Chinese yuan if they wanted to invest in China, Bass said. And so, meanwhile, countries could also be forced to make a switch, particularly those that have signed up to China's Belt and Road Initiative. You remember all that, right?
Beautiful.
Yes. And here's where
the
link is.
We'll offer you a discount if you pay with crypto.
Yes. Yes. See, because as we went over a long time ago, I mean, they are very, very clever with this Belt and Road Initiative thing to take financial control over all of these nations around the whole world.
Yep.
By loaning them these huge loans that they'll never, ever be able to repay. And so if you tie this Belt and Road Initiative into the Chinese digital yuan and say, oh, well, you know, if you want to pay, if, you know, maybe we'll give you a break on your loan if you use this currency. And then all of a sudden, all of these nations that owe them bazillions of dollars now owe it to them in digital yuan.
Yep.
And I just, as soon as I read that, I went, oh, man, that's clever. Yep. That is so creepy.
Well, that's what thrust the United States dollar to the top, you know, by using as a reserve currency. We did the same thing with oil.
Right.
You know, here's the deal. If you trade in U.S. dollars, you know, you can play and, you know, have the abundance of all this oil and access to it. And as long as you trade in U.S. dollars, created demand for our dollars, just shot it through the roof. So, you know, now with a World Economic Forum global reset on currency and them talking about cryptocurrencies and a total reset.
Right. And well,
a beautiful way to do it.
Exactly. And Kyle Bass said they can force its use and imagine what kind of stranglehold they will have over the world if they hold all of our capital that way. And fundamentally, it's the nature of the CCP that makes the digital yuan a threat, according to Bass. The Chinese Communist Party is the largest existential threat to the rules-based order that's ever existed, he said. The regime is so good at exploiting every crack, every nook, every cranny of opportunity and openness that our society affords them. And so he says, I think that we should ban the Chinese digital currency and not allow any of it to be handled in the United States. He says, I know that sounds hyperbolic, but if you just think all the way through this, you can't have just a little bit of cancer. You either have cancer or you don't have cancer. And I believe we can't allow U.S. corporations or individuals to transact in the Chinese digital yuan currency.
Yep. And if you have that cancer, it's going to spread.
Yep.
It doesn't just stay in a nice little neat little bubble over there.
Yep, exactly. That's the creepy part, especially with all their control over all these nations through the Belt and Roads initiatives. However, Biden did just bring in that $6.1 trillion Belt Roads initiative from China that they're using for infrastructure. That Marjorie Taylor Greene, she threw that out there and she said, this is Belt and Roads initiative. And
awesome.
And so just like I said, watch out. That has got to be Belt and Roads initiative. Sure enough, she threw it out there and said it.
She said it.
Yep. And so, I mean, that was what I was warning. I was like, uh-oh, this is highly characteristic of just that. And they're not going to tell anybody where they're getting that money from until it's too late.
Right.
And so if we are now sucked into that Belt and Roads initiative for our infrastructure garbage,
this and regime then now will play along and do it all in cryptocurrency.
And that means that we are now threatened by the Chinese digital yuan as well.
Yeah, the
yuan. It's Y-U-A-N, and I am really not great at Chinese words. And I don't.
Guess what?
I don't
really Chinese.
I don't plan to be good at Chinese words ever.
That's right. It's yuan. That's what we're going to call it. It's the Chinese yuan.
Yuan. Yuan. You ain't not going to use that over here.
Yeah. You want to just walk away. How's that? All right. Well, we just got a couple of minutes left. So you got anything else before we wind things down?
Well, yes, because you were going along, you were talking about the Stasi thing, and there's several different creepy things that are going along the lines of Stasi type responses out of different states where like Michigan Attorney General is now using the police to probe people who made election fraud claims. So that is, you know, that as well as the Arizona Secretary of State deciding to turn on Trump and Giuliani and probe them for, you know, did they
right.
badger anybody in Maricopa County about looking into the election results? Did they badger them because that's against the law? And so that's a very Stasi type response.
Yes, it is.
Right there.
That's just like the Cuban regime. The Castros would do the very same thing. Any Cuban immigrant or Cuban refugee would warn against that very same thing. They're going to say they did that in Cuba.
Right.
That very same thing.
Well, and see, and the article that I have here from Michigan, it says the Michigan Attorney General to use police to probe people who made election fraud claims. This article points out that a Republican-controlled Senate panel last month issued a report saying it found no evidence of widespread or systemic fraud in Michigan's prosecution of the 2020 election, and that the county clerk falsely reported on the morning after the election night that Democrat Joe Biden had beat former President Donald Trump by thousands of votes, and that all of these you know, so-called fraud claims are just human error. They weren't really fraud. They were just human error.
Oh, unless you're a Trump supporter.
Right, exactly. and so the whole premise of this article basically is that, well, it's a Republican-controlled Senate that said this, so it must be legitimate. That is not the case.
No.
A communist can just as easily run for a Republican office as a communist can run for a Democrat office.
And we are learning how many of them are and how strategic and intentional that is to place Republicans.
People, that is what communists do.
Yes.
They invade all parties.
That's
so
right.
that you know, the Lenin statement is we control the opposition by becoming the opposition.
Yes.
So I mean, there's nothing that's off limits. If you are seeking to destroy your enemy, why would you not invade all of their parties? I mean,
right.
Seriously.
Well, look at the two county commissioners in Kootenai County.
Yep, that's right.
Filios and Schmuckatello, I can't remember his name.
That's good enough.
Yeah, everybody's yelling at their computers because that knows.
Right.
But yeah, these guys are they're communists. They're communists pretending to be Republicans.
Yes, you know them by their fruit. Who are they supporting? What agenda are they supporting? Are they pro freedom or are they pro regulation?
Right.
You know them by their fruits.
Yep.
Period. It doesn't, I quit looking at Republican and Democrat altogether. It just doesn't even matter.
I know. You're either a patriot or you're a communist.
Yep, exactly.
Or was it Roosevelt that said, you're either, we're at the point now where you have two parties, patriots and traitors.
Yeah, I know.
You're either a patriot or you're a traitor. So yes. If somebody's not a patriot or they're like, oh, those people that call themselves patriot, oh, you just identify yourself as a traitor.
Yep,
thank
that's
you.
Right. Yep.
So all traitors, identify yourself now.
And anybody that has anything against the Constitution, that is just plain as day who they are as well.
Right.
So and just keep in mind, I'm just going to keep hammering on this point till people get it. Communists are illegal.
Yeah.
Communism is illegal. Nobody that is a communist can hold any type of government position, period.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know.
And they don't have to be members of the Communist Party.
And it's illegal according to constitutional law, Article 4, Section 4, that guarantees every state in the union a Republican form of government.
That's right.
And that's not a, if you want it, it's available. It's a guarantee
that's
of
right.
a Republican form of government. That's right. Because that guarantee prevents all of the other horrible types of government that take advantage of people, that plunder the wealth, that that rule from the top down
right.
instead of the bottom up. And so that it's just so cleverly and simply written that it saved America from all those other horrible types of governance structure.
Yep. Well, thank you, Lady Liberty, for pointing that out. And we'll be on the air tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time. Every weekday morning out of Spokane on 96.5 FM and the AM dial at 630, and of course the live streaming as well. You can go to radiofreeredoubt.com, click on the Listen to RFR tab, and that'll drop down and open up a page where you can see all of the different ways that you can listen to our shows, our future schedule, and previous archives are linked from there as well. So, Lady Liberty, you want to say goodbye? And
well, yes, everyone.
Sayonara.
Thank you. Thank you for listening in, and we truly appreciate all of you and all of your feedback as well. And we look forward to having you join us in the morning.
That's right. All right, guys, you have a blessed, safe week. We look forward to seeing you next weekend at the Red Pill Festival. Look forward to meeting you, shaking your hands, and having you join in the celebrations.
And buy a copy of my book.
Yes, the new. Oh, we should have talked about that. Yeah, the 444. Hey, listen in this week. We'll be talking about
The release of the book. Whoopee.
Yep, we're going to be here Thursday or sometime in the middle of the end of the week, just in time.
Yep, perfect. Just in time.
All right, guys. God bless 73 and keep your powder dry. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.